as I know that it will afford you pleasure that I have brought my undertaking to a successful result, I have determined to write to you this letter to inform you of everything that has been done and discovered in this voyage of mine. On the 33rd day after leaving Cadiz, I came into the Indian Sea, where I discovered many islands inhabited by numerous peoples. I took possession of all of them for our most fortunate king by making public proclamation and unfurling his standard, no one making any resistance. To the first of them I have given the name of our blessed Saviour, trusting in whose aid that I had reached this and all the rest. But the Indians called it Guanahani. To each of the others I also gave a new name, ordering one to be called Sancta Maria de Concepcion, another Fernandina, another Isabella, and another Joanna, and so with all the rest. As soon as we reached the island which I have just said was called Joanna, I sailed along its coast some considerable distance towards the west, and found it to be so large, without any apparent end, that I believed it was not an island, but a continent, a province of Cathay. But I saw neither towns nor cities lying on the seaboard, only some villages and country farms with whose inhabitants I could not get speech, because they fled as soon as they beheld us. I continued on, supposing I should come upon some city or country houses. At last, finding that no discoveries rewarded our further progress, and that this course was leading us towards the north, which I was desirous of avoiding, as it was winter in these regions, and it had always been my intention to proceed southwards, and the winds were also favourable to such desires, I concluded not to attempt any other adventures. So turning back, I came again to a certain harbour which I had remarked. From there I sent two of our men into the country, to learn whether there was any king or cities in that land. They journeyed for 3 days, and found innumerable people and habitations, but small, and having no fixed government, on which account they returned. Meanwhile, I had learned from some Indians whom I had seized at this place that the country was really an island. Consequently, I continued along towards the east, as much as 322 miles, always hugging the shore. Where was the very extremity of the island? From there, I saw another island to the eastwards, distant 54 miles from this Joanna, which I named Hispana, and proceeded to it and directed my course for 564 miles east by north, as it were, just as I had done at Joanna. The island called Joanna, as well as the others in its neighbourhood, is exceedingly fertile. It has numerous harbours on all sides, very safe and wide, above comparison with any that I have ever seen. Through it flow very many broad and health-giving rivers, and there are in it numerous very lofty mountains. All these islands are very beautiful, easy to be traversed, and full of the greatest variety of trees reaching to the stars. I think these never lose their leaves, as I saw them looking as green and lovely as they are wont to be in the month of May in Spain. Some of them were in leaf and some in fruit, each flourishing in the condition its nature required. The nightingale was singing, and various other little birds, when I was rambling among them in the month of November. There are also in the island called Joanna 7 or 8 kinds of palms, which as readily surpass ours in height and beauty as do all the other trees, herbs, and fruits. There are also wonderful pine woods, fields, and extensive meadows, birds of various kinds, and honey, and all the different metals, except iron. In the island, which I've said before was called Hispana, there are many lofty and beautiful mountains, great farms, groves, and fields, most fertile both for cultivations and for pasturage, and well adapted for constructing buildings. The convenience of the harbours in this island and the excellence of the rivers in volume and salubrity surpass human belief, unless one should see them. In it the trees, pasture lands and fruits differ much from those of Joanna. Besides, this Hispana abounds in various kinds of spices, gold and metals. The inhabitants of both sexes of this and all of the other islands I have seen, or of which I have any knowledge, always go as naked as they came into this world, except that some of the women cover their private parts with leaves or branches or a veil of cotton, which they prepare themselves for this purpose. They are all, as I said before, unprovided with any sort of iron, and they are destitute of arms, which are entirely unknown to them, and for which they are not adapted. Not on account of any bodily deformity, for they are well made, but because they are timid and full of terror. They carry, however, canes dried in the sun in place of weapons, upon whose roots they fix a wooden shaft, dried and sharpened to a point. But they never dare to make use of these, for it has often happened when I've sent two or three of my men to some of their villages to speak with the inhabitants, that a crowd of Indians has sallied forth. But when they saw our men approaching, they speedily took flight, parents abandoning their children, and children their parents. This happened not because of any loss or injury had been inflicted on any of them. On the contrary, I gave whatever I had, cloth and many other things, to whomsoever I approached, or with whom I could get speech, without any return being made to me. But they are, by nature, fearful and timid. But when they see that they are safe and all fear is banished, they are very guileless and honest, and very liberal of all they have. No one refuses the asker anything that he possesses. On the contrary, they themselves invite us to ask for it. They manifest the greatest affection towards all of us, exchanging valuable things for trifles, content with the very least thing or nothing at all. But I forbade giving them very trifling thing and of no value, such as bits of plates, dishes and glass, also nails and straps, although it seemed to them, if they could get such, that they had acquired the most beautiful jewels in the world. For it chanced that a sailor received for a single strap as much weight of gold as 3 gold solidi, and so others for things of less price, especially for new blankers, and for some gold coins which they gave whatever the seller asked. For instance, 1.5 ounces or 2 ounces of gold or 30 or 40 pounds of cotton, with which they are already familiar. So too, for pieces of hoops, jugs, jars and pots, they bartered cotton and gold like beasts. This I forbade, because it was plainly unjust, and I gave them many beautiful and pleasing things which I had brought with me, for no return whatsoever, in order to win their affection, and that they might become Christians, and inclined to love our king and queen and princes and all the people of Spain, and that they might be eager to search for and gather and give to us what they abound in and we greatly need. They do not practice idolatry. On the contrary, they believe that all strength, all power, in short, all blessings are from heaven, and that I have come down from there with these ships and sailors, and in this spirit was I received everywhere, after they had got over their fear. They are neither lazy nor awkward, but on the contrary, are of an excellent and acute understanding. Those who have sailed these seas give excellent accounts of everything, but they have never seen men wearing clothes or ships like ours. As soon as I had come into this sea, I took by force some Indians from the first island in order that they might learn from us, and at the same time tell us what they knew about affairs in these regions. This succeeded admirably, for in a short time we understood them, and they us, both by gesture and signs and words, and they were of great service to us. They are coming now with me, and have always believed that I have come from heaven, notwithstanding the long time they have been and still remain with us. They were the first who told this wherever we went, one calling to another with a loud voice, "Come, come, you will see men from heaven." Whereupon both women and men, children and adults, young and old, laying aside the fear they had felt before, flocked eagerly to see us, a great crowd thronging about our steps, some bringing food and others drink, with greatest love and incredible goodwill. In each island are many boats made of solid wood, though narrow, yet in length and shape similar to our two bankers, but swifter in motion, and managed by oars only. Some of them are large, some small, and some of medium size, but most are larger than a two-banker rowed by 18 oars. With these they sail to all of the islands, which are innumerable, engaging in traffic and commerce with each other. I saw some of these boats which carried 70 or 80 rowers. In all these islands there is no difference in the appearance of the inhabitants, and none of their customs and language, so that all understand one another. This is a circumstance most favourable for what I believe our most serene king especially desires, that is, their conversion to the holy faith of Christ, for which, indeed, as far as I could understand, they are ready and prone. I've told already how I sailed in a straight course along the island of Johanna from west to east, 322 miles. From this voyage and the extent of my journeyings, I can say that this Johanna is larger than England and Scotland together. For beyond the aforesaid 322 miles in that portion which looks towards the west, there are two more provinces which I did not visit. One of them, the Indians called Annan, and its inhabitants are born with tails. These provinces extend 180 miles, as I learned from the Indians, whom I am bringing with me, and who are well acquainted with all these islands. The distance around Hispana is greater than all Spain, from Colonia to Fontarabia, as is readily proved, because its fourth side, which I myself traversed in a straight course from west to east, stretched 540 miles. This island is to be coveted and not to be despised when acquired, as I have already taken possession of all the others, as I have said, for our most invincible king, and the rule over them is entirely committed to the said king, so in this one I have taken special possession over a certain larger town, in a most convenient spot, well suited for all profit and commerce, to which I have given the name of the Nativity of our Lord, and there I ordered a fort to be built forthwith, which ought to be finished now. In it I left as many men as seemed necessary, with all kinds of arms, and provisions sufficient for more than a year. Also a caraval and men to build others, skilled not only in this trade, but in others. I secured for them the goodwill and remarkable friendship of the king of the island, for these people are very affectionate and kind, so much so that the aforesaid king took a pride in my being called his brother. Although, should they change their minds and wish to harm those who have remained in the fort, they cannot, because, well, they are without arms, go naked and are too timid, so that in truth, those who hold the aforesaid fort can lay waste to the whole of the island without any danger to themselves, provided they do not violate the rules and instructions I have given them. In all these islands, as I understand, every man is satisfied with only one wife, except the princes or kings, who are permitted to have 20. The women appear to work more than the men, but I could not well understand whether they have private property or not, for I saw that what everyone had was shared with the others, especially meals, provisions, and such things. I found among them no monsters, as many expected, but men of great deference and kind. Nor are they black like the Ethiopians, but they have long, straight hair. They do not dwell where the rays of the suns have most power, although the sun's heat is very great there, as this region is 26 degrees distant from the equatorial line. From the summits of the mountains there comes great cold, but the Indians mitigate it by being inured to the weather, and by the help of very hot food, which they consume frequently and in immoderate quantities. I saw no monsters. Neither did I have accounts of any such, except in an island called Charis, the second as one crosses over from Spain to India, which is inhabited by a certain race regarded by their neighbours as very ferocious. They eat human flesh, and make use of several kinds of boats, which they cross over to all the Indian islands, and plunder, and carry off whatever they can. But they differ in no respect from the others, except in wearing their hair long, after the fashion of women. They make use of bows and arrows made of reeds, having pointed shafts fastened to the thicker portion, as we have before described. For this reason, they are considered to be ferocious, and the other Indians consequently are terribly afraid of them. They have intercourse with certain women who dwell alone upon the island of Maturin, the first as one crosses from Spain to India. These women follow none of the usual occupations of their sex, but they use bows and arrows like those of their husbands, which I have described, and protect themselves with plates of copper, which is found in the greatest abundance among them. I was informed that there is another island larger than the aforesaid Hispana, whose inhabitants have no hair, and that there is greater abundance of gold in it than in the others. Some of the inhabitants of these islands and of the others I have seen, I am bringing over with me to bear testimony to what I have reported. Finally, to sum up in a few words the chief results and advantage of our departure and speedy return, I make this promise to our most invincible sovereign, that if I am supported by some little assistance from them, I will give them as much gold as they have need of, and in addition spices, cotton, and mastic, which is found only in Chios, and as many heathen slaves as their majesty may choose to demand. Besides these, rhubarb and other kinds of drugs, which I think the men left in the fort before alluded to have already discovered, or will do so, as I myself have delayed nowhere longer than the winds compelled me, except when I was provided for the construction of a fort in the city of Nativity, and for making all things safe. Although these matters are very wonderful and unheard of, they would have been more so if ships of a reasonable account had been furnished me. But what has been accomplished is great and wonderful, and not at all proportionate to my deserts, but to the sacred Christian faith, and to the piety and religion of our sovereign. For what the mind of a man could not compass, the Spirit of God has granted to mortals. For God is wont to listen to his servants who love his precepts, even in impossibilities, as has happened to me in the present instance, who has accomplished what human strength has hitherto never attained. For if anyone has written or told anything about these islands, all have done so either obscurely or by guesswork, so that it has almost seemed to be fabulous. Therefore let king and queen and princes and their most fortunate realms and all other Christian provinces, let us all return, thanks to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who has bestowed so great a victory and reward upon us. Let there be processions and solemn sacrifices prepared. Let the churches be decked with festal boughs. Let Christ rejoice upon earth as he rejoices in heaven, as he foresees that so many souls of so many people heretofore lost are to be saved. And let us be glad not only for the exaltation of our faith, but also for the increase of temporal prosperity, in which not only Spain, but all Christendom is about to share. As these things have been accomplished, so have they been briefly narrated. Farewell. Christopher Colomb, Admiral of the Ocean Fleet. Lisbon, March 14th.